Testing, testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny here.
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and raccoonettes. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you Harvey Wallstetter Juniors of the world? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal, Louis Fats.
I'll kiss you later. I'm eating a potato.
That's right. The only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios in Clifton, New Jersey, and we implore you to subscribe to the podcast. Go to iTunes, give a 5-star rating, and leave a review. And if you want to listen just on the internet, it's where our home base is, the non-productive website. You've got a non-productive.com/honeymooners. And don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. All right. I'll get that one day. I'll get that right.
You will get flubbing. Well, being consistent with the honeymoon, you got to flub something.
Flub a few, right? Yeah. Left-hand top land.
Left-hand drawer.
It must be, maybe. Yes.
Applicant.
All that for applicant.
Applicant, yeah.
Sorry, sir. Thank you, sir. All of a sudden, he became an aristocrat.
Yeah, aristocrat. Thank you, sir. You know, he's like, word.
Hey, we got to get some beer. Thank you, sir.
Couldn't think of a word.
Yeah, all of a sudden, he was like an English teetotaler, you know? Cliff Hall, right? We're going to do an episode all about Cliff Hall, too. For sure. For sure. We are actually at episode 11. I can't believe it, but we are at episode 11. And people are loving it. We're getting a lot of great feedback, and we appreciate it. Thank you. And also, we might as well tell them right off the bat, if you want to contact us, first of all, if you want to do the Patreon, it's patreon.com/honeymooners. That's if you want to donate and help support the show. If you want to contact us personally, email us right to Louis's email.
Yep.
Louis is finally part of the technical wave world, of the world, because your email is
bangzoom1956@gmail.com.
So if you want to contact us for any reason, I mean, I know because Louis, you can't contact him online. You have to actually go to Cedar Knolls, New Jersey, and find him. And it's not
dropped from an airplane. And
yes, exactly. So if you want to contact us, if you just want to say, hey, we really love the show, and you don't want to do it on Facebook or whatever, bangzoom1956@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Which is just perfect because that's exactly it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, I had that email before we did all this. That was one of my emails. Yeah.
Were you a fan of the show, The Honeymooners? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I kind of liked it. Okay, I loved when he said Bang Zoom.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait for it. I'd replay it back in the
world. Yes. To the moon. Dude, now I'm finding, because now when I'm meeting people, like even if I'm doing, now when I'm doing comedy, when I... when they have like, yeah, listen, can you know, when they bring me on stage, they say, what do you want to do as credits? I'll tell them about my podcast, right. Conti Kenny Show. But I say, listen, mention the fact that I have a brand new podcast called The Honeymooners Podcast. Now people come up after and they're like, oh, you do The Honeymooners Podcast. To the moon, Alice. And the woman puts her hand up for fist. Yep. I'm like, there's so much more to it. But I did. Please some listen. Guy came up to me after the show and he was like, I did a show in Sussex County campground somewhere, and they were all from all over the place. So right. I said, where are you guys from? After the show, this guy comes up to me. He goes, I was going to tell you I was from Bismarck, North Dakota. He was a huge fan, right. And now he's going to listen to the show. So shout out to him.
All right, good.
But, yeah.
So that's another one that makes seven.
Yes. Exactly. So today, this is kind of...
Whatever happened to, there was things that popped up in the show that just ended with the show, like,
right,
you know,
obviously, and because, like we said, the shows are pretty much one-offs, they're like single standing plays,
standalones.
So, but we wanted to bring up three or four things that you were like, whatever
What was whatever happened?
Yeah, whatever
this?
Happened to this guy or this
or this situation, this scenario? Because obviously, after 22 minutes, it ends.
It ends and it and died it, with it. And
yeah, and it's done. And, it and then they got the other script ready to go ready for go the next week. Episode. Yep. So the first one is from the Sleepwalker, yeah. And we'll just play it for you real quick. A little taste of what we're talking about, and we all remember the Sleepwalker.
Mr. Norton, I would like for you to count backwards from 100.
100. 99. 98. 97. 96. 3.
He says it's strong stuff you're using there.
Lulu.
What'd he say?
I do not know, but he is now under completely. Mr. Norton, something is troubling you. What is it? Did something hurt you? Did you suffer some grave disappointment?
Yeah, a grave disappointment.
When did that happen?
When I was 21 years old.
Love this one.
I wanted to go to college.
And what happened?
They wouldn't let me. They said I had to finish grammar school first.
Well, you're wasting your time, Doc. That mental block's made out of cement.
Lulu, tell us about Lulu, Mr. Norton. Was she a childhood sweetheart?
A childhood sweetheart?
Yes.
Lulu.
Well, what happened to Mr. Norton? What happened with Lulu?
I lost her at Coney Island.
How did you lose her?
We was going through the tunnel of love, and she jumped out of the boat and went after a cocker spaniel. Lulu was the best dog I ever had.
A dog? A dog? That's it, Doc. That's what he's searching for, the dog he lost. All we have to do is get him a dog, and that's the end of his sleepwalking.
No, we must not jump to conclusions, Mr. Clement. That might only be part of the dilemma. In order to find out, in order to be certain what his trouble is, I will have to run further tests.
Well, how long is that going to take?
Oh, 2-3 months.
2 or 3 months? I can't last that long. Look, I know Norton. If he does anything, he does it for a dumb reason. And he's sleepwalking for a dumb reason. Now, all we have to do is get him the dog, and that'll settle the whole thing.
But, Mr. Clement, we do not have sufficient proof.
No.
That is enough proof for me. I'm getting him a dog. Get
out of here. I love how he talks to the doctor.
He just tosses the doctor out.
Like, yeah, I mean, get your stuff and get out of here. Come back, Lulu.
Come back, Lulu.
Yes. So, of course, we all know the episode. It's the Sleepwalker, and he misses his dog, Lulu.
Lulu, yeah.
And they get him the dog.
Yeah, they get him another Lulu as Trixie. Lulu the second.
Lulu the second, that's right. And that was it. You never heard of Lulu again. Yeah.
What happened to Lulu?
Like, what happened? Did Trixie get sick of it and then just brought him out to, like, New Jersey? We're going to bring him to the country. Dad did that to us, too. I don't know where he brought the dog. But, what happened? You took the dog away from Norton, which he was allergic to dogs to begin with in the other episode.
Yeah.
But I will say it's okay because he said, hey, it's just the initial shot.
Yeah, it's the initial thing, and then that's it.
Then he
was okay with it.
But, yeah, what happened to Lulu?
What happened to Lulu?
I don't know, but Lulu never was at any meeting, didn't go to the raccoons.
What? No, did nothing.
They didn't let dogs in with raccoons, apparently.
No.
But
so Lulu just disappeared.
Lulu disappeared.
Lulu was one and done.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like Mr. Douglas.
Yeah.
She was one and done.
Yeah. Maybe she was, I don't know. I was going to say she was end up being a special at the Chinese restaurant, but that's a terrible thing.
We don't say things.
We don't say things like that. yes, but we wondered what happened to Lulu. And Lulu would have been a nice little addition to the Honeymooner family.
Yep.
Well, probably not. It would have been a disaster every time they want to go somewhere. Where? Like, hold on a minute, Ralph. I got to go walk Lulu.
I got to walk Lulu,
You think they would have let Lulu in an apartment anyway?
Probably. I don't know if Mr. Johnson would have allowed that.
I don't think so.
But then again, Mrs. Monicotti had a dog.
Oh, that's right.
Because they went to the you know, that when Alice got went to pound with Mrs. Monocotti.
Right, right.
And that's when she found the other dog, Ralph's dog.
And she didn't have a problem getting a dog.
Yeah, so
I guess they weren't worried about it. So Mr. Johnson maybe was, you know, a little open-minded to it.
And there was another one, too, with a cat. Somebody had a cat. Remember Ralph's head? He had the cat on. He thought it was the raccoon hat.
Yes.
It was his raccoon hat backwards. What was her cat doing in this apartment? Oh, he had your raccoon hat on backwards.
Yes, exactly. So that was our one thing. Like, what the hell happened to Lulu?
We don't know.
We don't know. All right. So our second whatever happened to was during Ralph Cramden Incorporated, which, of course, when Ralph went to the reading of the will for...
Mrs. Monahan.
That's right.
Yeah, her name was Monahan, too. They only used a few names.
Yeah, they really didn't.
They shared a lot of names.
Yeah, they didn't really go out of their way.
Mary Monahan.
Yeah.
Even the maid's name was Mary, too. I couldn't think of another name, I guess.
They couldn't
Mary O'Donnell.
They couldn't get a Dino or a Vincenzo or anything over there. I don't know.
Any Muriels, any Glorias?
Although they did have an Italian, Mr. D'Amico.
Yeah, Tony D'Amico.
Tony D'Amico.
And the Monocottis.
Yeah, and the Monocottis, of course, yeah. Yeah, the one Italian in the thing, they made it out of the stereotypical food.
Yeah, like they could.
Hey, Tony Linguini over here. So, of course, he goes to the reading of the will with Norton because the old lady, Miss Monahan. Mary Monahan is worth $40
million. Which is $382 million on today's money.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. So... And,
they could have said like $4 million would have been just more like fathomable.
Yes.
I mean, $40 million at that time is, you're talking.
Well, I guess because they were
filthy rich.
I guess they were exaggerating it just to get it. So there would be no, you wouldn't, I guess because it would just seem so ridiculous.
So ridiculous that she's ridiculously rich.
That's why he would go completely nuts.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, telling him one day after they get the money, he's going to get him out of that sewer. like $500,000 wouldn't have gotten him out of that sewer for at least 30 years back then. But of course, and this is the one little scene from the Ralph Cramden Incorporated.
To Herbert Bascom, my butler.
The butler.
For his many years of faithful service, I leave the sum of $50,000.
Sorry, a little habit I picked up watching the quiz shows.
Sway says that. It's just brilliant. The quiz shows.
To my maid, Mary O'Donnell, I leave the sum of $25,000.
Some people are never satisfied.
To my nephew, Robert Hilliard Bradley, who by his gambling and philandering has shown himself to be utterly incapable of handling money, I leave the sum of $1, which will undoubtedly be promptly deposited with his bookmaker.
I hope you pick a winner with it.
Had to be an ad lib.
Oh my God.
May I continue?
Just certainly. Rubbing his nose in it.
To Ralph Cramden, my favorite bus driver, I leave my fortune.
I'm rich! I'm rich! I'm
rich! You just have to watch Norton.
I know.
Sorry, I came so sudden. I wasn't expecting it.
Ralph Cramden has shown himself to be kind, sober, courteous, and conscientious. And to such a man, and only such a man, would I entrust my fortune. I'm not finished. Now, let's see, where was I? Oh, yes. To such a man, and only such a man, would I entrust my fortune. I therefore direct that immediately upon the reading of this will, Ralph Cramden take possession of my fortune.
Get the bag.
Get the bag. Get the bag.
Mr. Cramden, this is fortune, and according to the will, you take immediate possession.
and we all know what happens. Yes.
The bird.
Mr. Carson, am I to understand that this is the fortune? Yeah. Look at her again.
He lands right on Ralph's legs.
Yep.
And then they pass out,
obviously.
And but now the question is, whatever happened to...
There's two questions here.
Well, there's two questions, right. One, whatever happened to the bird?
The bird, Fortune.
Right. Didn't see it on top of the ice box.
No, it was on top of that bureau.
The top of the top hand, left hand drawer.
Next to that candy dish that's on
there. That's always there, right. Where no matter what, you always find whatever you need in that house in that top hand, left hand drawer. But what's the other question?
What happened to the fortune?
The fortune. The fortune itself. Money.
She gave out $76,001. What happened to the other 39?
The 39 plus million. Yeah, almost. Yeah, basically $39.25 million.
What happened to it?
I bet you the lawyer.
I know, Mr. Carson.
Yeah, Mr. Carson got it. Yeah, yeah. They were dating. Nobody knew it.
I know some wacko people leave like their estates to their pets.
Yeah.
So you would think if he left it to Fortune, right now, Ralph would have been the custodian of that.
Right, right, exactly.
He didn't. Just gave him the bird, and Ralph probably...
And the lunatic left a bird to the bus driver, if you think about it. Because you can't tell if that bird is real. I don't think it's real.
No, it's not.
It's not real. But here's the thing. That actual bird, if that bird was real, there is a huge possibility that that bird is still alive
today, yeah.
Because they all live to be like 120 years old. But what happened?
I kind of think when they left, Ralph just took the cage and opened the door and let the bird fly away.
Yeah, he was like, go ahead, go downtown.
Okay.
Fly. Or maybe Ed took a picture of it or something, or wrote it down.
Oh, it looks like a parrot.
Yeah. Today I saw.
Oh, he actually says that. Now.
He does say that. Yeah.
That is today that episode. That's part of that episode.
The brilliance that they tied in.
Yeah, when you think of tying that in the bird watching.
The bird watching, and then.
And another thing, too, he conveniently has his pad and pencil in his pocket of his suit jacket. His bird watching thing.
Yeah, because obviously.
Yeah, because they needed it for today I saw a parrot.
He also has to keep it on him because he's a nut. You know, the character is so insane. So, but yeah, that was our question. Whatever happened to the bird
and
the other, what happened to the two fortunes?
The two fortunes. The bird fortune and the actual fortune, the money.
That's what this
episode. What happened to it? And it just ends that way.
Yeah.
We don't see the bird again. Yeah. We don't know what happened to the money.
We don't know. We don't know what happened. Yeah. The two fortunes.
The two fortunes. Norton doesn't get his 35%.
He doesn't get... What if he says, look, 35% of the time, he's got to keep Fortune in his apartment?
Yeah, he'll say, you own 35% of them.
I'll just take the feathers, bro.
That's amazing. That is amazing. These things just like weren't thought out, and it wasn't supposed to be. It's comedy...
Yeah.
You laugh for the moment, and then that's it. You just laugh,
like
it's
you
funny.
Said, it's a self-standing play.
Play, yeah.
That you got to see once a week.
That's all it is, and it's just funny. Makes you laugh. Boom, that's it. Done. Next.
It makes idiots 64 years later do podcasts.
Yeah, trying to figure out if Fortune is actually a live bird or is it a prop. Come, Fortune, eat your breakfast.
Eat your breakfast. I guess she was like
Mary O'Donnell.
That's his brother. Yeah, she had that Irish.
A little Irish accent.
Irish thing going on. Oh, come, Fortune, eat your breakfast. yes. All right. I think we have to. I don't even know if we're going to get to all these, but our next whatever happened to is more of a little bit more just plain, flat out, very simple. And you'll see what it is.
Yeah? Oh, pardon me, I was just wondering if I could borrow a hammer. I'm just moving in and I have to open a crate.
Hey, how do you like that? Two guys moving in today. Him and the old guy next door.
Yeah. Oh, but I took the apartment next door. Oh, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Carlos Sanchez.
You moving in next door?
Yeah.
An old guy, this boy looks pretty well preserved. You don't exactly look like the type that cares for checkers, either.
Don't mind my friend. He's a little confused. Somehow or another, I got the impression that you were much older.
Oh.
Pardon me. My name is Ralph Cramden. This is my friend Ed Norton. He lives upstairs.
Oh, you must be Trixie's husband.
Yeah. I'm not Trixie's husband.
Yes. I met her a little while ago. A very lovely woman.
Oh, thank you. You got to meet quite a few people there in a short time, didn't you?
Well, I kind of like to know who my neighbors are.
Oh, well, you better get to know Trixie and me pretty fast because we may be moving tomorrow.
Oh, really? Trixie never mentioned it.
Trixie don't know it yet.
Don't you think you might have made a little mistake moving into a strange neighborhood like this, you know, knowing nobody with you being all alone and everything? And besides, you know, this is kind of a noisy neighborhood. You might not get much sleep at night.
Oh, well, thanks for the warning, Mr. Cramden, but that don't bother me. You know, I won't be around here very much at night. I work nights.
What are you, garbage man?
No, I'm a
just
dancer.
Just like that.
Dance?
Yes, I do a mambo and South American specialty. Well, I guess I won't be seeing too much of you fellows. You probably work days and are around here at night. I'm just the opposite. I'll be working at nights, and I'll be around here all day.
All day. I love when he says that.
You mean that while we're working in the daytime, you're going to be around here all the time?
That's right.
Come in.
Gotta hear this.
Oh, God, yeah.
Boy, this is heavy, Ralph.
Oh, here, Mrs. Cramden. Let me help you with that.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Sanchez.
Where will I put it?
Oh, right on the table will be all right.
You know, Mrs. Cramden, you shouldn't be carrying heavy things like this. Not with those delicate hands of yours.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you. I wish somebody else around here would be concerned about things like that.
Wait a minute. If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times not to carry a heavy wash like that. Now, the next time you have a heavy wash like that, make 2 trips.
Great line. That's great. It's definitely in the top 5 best lines.
Oh, God, yeah.
Make two trips. So, of course, we're talking about Carlos Sanchez.
Yes.
And unlike other characters, this character, like, moved in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there were other people that were already mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
This character was, you know, because there were a lot of people that you didn't see that lived in the building.
Yeah, in the building. We know him by name.
Yeah.
You know, but Riley, one, Mr. Riley.
Yeah, Mr. Riley.
The Bennett's. We saw Johnny Bennett.
But Mr. Carlos Sanchez moves in.
Yeah.
Right next door.
Next door. Took Fogarty's old flat.
And we never see him again.
We don't know what happened. Did he got scared away? Yeah, or
did he have a bad dancing accident?
Maybe he did take the job as the garbage man. The Department of Sanitation. Dressed up in that thing. And it's funny, too. The actor, I believe it's Charles Corvin, is Hungarian.
That's right.
He's not even
Spanish. Telling me, right?
Yeah, he's Hungarian, but he has like that generic accent.
So is that...
I don't know if that's his real accent. That's how he speaks, or he's trying to be like a Spanish accent. I don't know, but I know he's a Hungarian. He's Hungarian.
If he did, it's very good because it doesn't come out very like cartoonish.
No, not like a cartoonist. Like a my name is Jose Jimenez. Kind of
Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, like really going overboard.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it was very good.
It was actually good.
I just realized that. Yeah. You know what? That was a really good. Because it wasn't over the top. It was just enough to get you to understand that he's a Spanish guy.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Carlos Sanchez. And by the way, Out of everybody that you saw dance in this episode, he was the third worst.
Yeah, he was. They said he couldn't dance at all. They said he could not dance at all.
Really?
Yeah, at all. Just for him doing that little step of, and it's not even a mambo that he's doing.
I can dance.
I don't know what he's doing.
Yes.
But that's not even the mambo. But anyway, so like, what happened to Carlos
what
Sanchez?
What happened to Carlos Sanchez?
Maybe he was just so intimidated that he had to move out.
Well, maybe the neighborhood was a little too noisy for him.
They're doing noisy for him, yeah. Yeah, it could be.
And you know what? Maybe he found the right girl. He finally found the right girl,
yeah.
And
Pensioners, yeah.
And just said, look, and she probably whacked him in the head with pots and pans.
And this is it.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, you know what? I think I got to get
found
out
her.
Of,
I gotta found
get out
her.
I got to get out of this neighborhood. Yeah. So, Carlos Sanchez.
What happened to Carlos Sanchez?
All right. I think we got time for one more.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. All right. This one is interesting because this one, it's not as well known, the name, in The Golfer.
Okay, in The Golfer.
The very iconic episode with the hello ball, mm-hmm, and him dressed up in the crazy golfing outfit. But he's supposed to go golfing with Mr. Harper. And then Mr. Harper.
Who is the same guy as Mr. Marshall.
Marshall,
with a different name.
Yes. And then he gets hurt, and then the other... Mr.
Douglas,
who's the other?
He's a vice president.
Vice president.
Yeah, he comes to the door and you'll play.
And you'll hear. And also, there's a great.
One of the great all-time flubs of all. One of my favorite. I'm not really a big fan of the episode.
Right.
Joe finds that a little hard to believe, but
no, I understand.
It's this flub that makes me watch it.
By the way, Louis ruined this episode for me. I don't watch this episode with the amount of
enthusiasm,
vigor, and fervor that I do with every other one. Yeah, thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So there's 38 episodes now that I watch. Big jerk. All right, so Mr. Harper comes, and you'll hear me. Here we go. Here comes Mr. Harper.
Yes, Ralph Crandon? Oh, yes, sir. How are you, Mr. Douglas? Come right in.
Well, I see you know me, huh?
Oh, certainly. Alice, this is Mr. Douglas. He's one of the vice presidents of the Gotham Bus Company.
How do you do, Mrs. Pemberton? Crandon, I'm sorry to intrude at this hour, but I just left Mr. Harper in the hospital, and he asked me to drop by and see you.
Mr. Harper is in a hospital?
Oh, yes, nothing serious, really. He just slipped and chipped a bone in his ankle.
Chipped a bone in his ankle? I mean, he chipped a bone in his ankle. You mean he won't be able to play golf Sunday?
I'm afraid not. The doctor says he won't be able to play for about a couple of months, so he asked me to drop by and tell him how sorry he was to be disappointed.
Boy, that's great. I mean, what a disappointment.
To tell him.
I was all ready to play golf with him Sunday, too, wasn't I, Alice? Now he's practicing uphill shots, downhill shots. Ready to go, you know.
Yeah, well, Mr. Harper tells me you're quite a golfer. Championship caliber, huh?
I don't like to brag. Just like the guys down at the bus company, they say if you put a club in my hand, I'm dynamite. As a matter of fact, while we're out there playing Sunday, I was going to give Harper a couple of, tricks, pointers. Yeah, well, I guess you can't have everything the way you want it these days.
Yes, you can't.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, as a matter of fact, I think Mr. Harper gave me the solution this morning. He suggested that I take his place and play with you. So, you see, the arrangements are still the same. Well, I'm awfully glad to have met you, Mrs. Crampton. So long, Crampton. We tee off tomorrow at 10.
Well, Alice, you gotta admit one thing. I got a big gun!
All right. First of all, that flub is fantastic.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my. It's a very subtle one, but it's one of my favorite flubs. Because, like I said, he's one and done,
yes,
and he flubs his only honeymooner line.
She, them, you're gonna go. Then.
So our question, you get
yes. Well, I have a question before it.
Okay.
It really didn't matter that he boasted at the end because he came there to tell him about Mr. Monahan.
Right.
Mr. Harper.
Mr. Harper.
But they decided over there, I'm just going to play with you. So it didn't matter that he bragged at the end.
No.
Him bragging and having a big mouth wasn't the reason why they were still golfing on Sunday.
Yep.
That's the thing. I'm like, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, well, listen, he had to brag.
Yeah, he had to brag.
And, you know, and all that. But if he would have been like, well, you know what? You know, they, you know, in reality, if they would have said, well, you know, he said you're pretty good. Eh, you know what? They like to brag and tell me I'm okay.
I'm okay. Yeah,
then you got yourself covered. If you actually play decent, you'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
But here's, and this is what we're talking. What happened to the game?
In the game, did they ever play?
Did they ever play?
We don't know.
And if he did,
rain that day, like, or something that he did, he got out of it? You think if he gets out of it with Mr. Douglas, that was probably like a one and done deal because he was just filling in for somebody,
right?
So you figure if Ralph couldn't play that day, he probably never would have played with him anyway. And Harper was a couple of months away from playing, so who knows what happened.
Yeah,
so.
But that would have...
But it's just funny. It's just so funny. He builds himself up as being a golfer, and here what happens.
Yeah.
Do they ever play?
Did they ever play? And he has... I mean, would he go golfing, or would he go to Ebbets Field and end up in left field?
In left field, yeah.
Because he doesn't even know where left field is. Yeah. I don't even know where left field is. But yeah, that would have been it. What happened? Did he golf with Mr. Harper? If he did, what happened?
What happened to the game?
Did he get in trouble if Harper would have been like, this guy didn't know anything about golfing?
Like awful.
And maybe Monahan should have been like, you know what? You lied to me. You're fired.
You're fired. From now on, I'm not going to be Mr. Harper anymore. I'm going to be Mr. Marshall.
Yes. I'm going to get my identity changed. And I'm going to move to Park Avenue. And then I'm going to ask you, since you already lied to me about golf, I'm going to ask you to come to my house and teach me how to play pool. Well, those are our, I guess, what you call what happened to. Whatever happened.
And things like, you know, also the TV.
Yeah, well, we can do more of these, you know.
No, we could definitely go all through them. But whatever happened to the TV?
Yeah.
Did they bring it back to the store?
I'm going to guess.
Did Norton take it?
I'm going to guess that they brought it back to the store.
I would say so. They returned it because it just didn't work out.
It was nothing but trouble.
It didn't work out.
But listen, we thank you guys.
I got to ask a trivia question. Now that we're on the TV, we'll stick with that episode, okay?
Okay, wait a minute. Did we ask it?
No, we didn't ask it at the beginning. We were supposed to ask it at the beginning.
We didn't do it.
This format's too hard for us also. Anyway, we were just like...
Okay, so anyway.
Anyway, let me ask it now.
Yeah.
All right, sticking with the TV episode.
Okay.
Norton was a member of the, of course, Captain Video's Space Academy.
Okay.
What was his rank?
I don't think I know this.
Ranger third class.
Ranger. Oh, because
he does the pledge thing, right?
And drink my milk after every meal.
Give me milk after every meal.
He's Ranger
third class.
Very good. maybe next time we'll do it correctly.
We'll get it right. We're going to get this trivia thing right. You watch. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
By episode 39.
By episode 39. The magical 39. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen. That was episode 11 of the Honeymooners podcast. Thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen. Tell your friends about the show. Share it on your social media. Thank you to the Facebook groups, the Honeymooners, the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge, the Honeymooners, the Classic 39 Episodes, and our pal Edward Lily White Norton, his Honeymooners Trivia Podcast. He is actually, he's not doing his Raccoon Lodge radio anymore, but his... Honeymooners Trivia Podcast, he's going to expand it a little bit and do some other things with it. So definitely give that a listen. It's Honeymooners Trivia Podcast. And also my show that I've been doing for a very long time. It's the Conti and Kenny Show, and we're on More Like Radio every Monday night at 7 o'clock. If you want to give that a listen, it's called the Conti and Kenny Show. And for me, Joe Conti, and Louis Fats, we're out of here, and we'll see you guys next time.
Good night. We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi.
This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.